Love and unity to all we being black on earth. Shay E. Ray with an impromptu episode. This one is going to be no edits, no cuts, no ifs, ands, or buts. Today's session, toxic femininity. I'll allow that to sink in because I know that may be a tough pill to swallow. So take a seat. Maybe you need to lie down for this one. Get a big cup of water. And I'll be back.
They'll teach you history, yeah. But they'll teach you what they want you to think. What they want you to think is,
and none of it has ever been true.
Shay E. Ray bringing the awoe of fatherhood. This is Being Black on Earth, the podcast. Toxic femininity. I've heard that it doesn't exist. In the same way that black people can't be racist, women can't be toxic. I read the Psychology Today article on it, and I've had the distinct pleasure of debating this topic vigorously with my wide awoke teenage daughter. Before I unwrap the package of blacks as racist or break open the box on the existence of a poisonous version of femininity, boys and girls, I'm going to tell you a little story. This is the story that inspired today's session. Once upon a time ago, there was a man, and that man was me. I was approached by the women of my village, single or soon to be single mothers, and in all about eight, to help them with their hard-headed and nasty little preteen boys. I wasn't eager to do it, honestly, but eventually I did. I didn't do it alone. I had the help of three other men from the community. The mothers all chose them. These were men I didn't even know until this program began. So just like that, I became a mentor to eight teen boys. We ran the program with amazing support from the mothers. The program had its ups and downs for sure, but in all, it was very beneficial and very necessary. The boys loved it, the moms appreciated it. Now, the way that mentorship works in the realms of rites of passage, which was the context in which I ran this program, was within rites of passage. So you can have all kinds of mentorship, but this was specifically rites of passage mentorship, with the aim of helping guiding young boys into manhood. And a mentor, or ROP mentor, a rites of passage mentor, as I understand it, as I explained it to the mothers, is for life. Meaning, from here on out, if that child needs me, for better or for worse, convenient for me or not, in youth or in adulthood, I am to be there, present as a guide for the rest of his life and mine. And I made sure that all the moms understood that this was the rite of passage mentorship and what it meant to me. Okay. Now, time passed, as it does. Those boys grew up. I grew old. Some stayed in contact and some moved away. One of those mothers remained in frequent contact. And in fact, she lived literally walking distance from me. When the boy grew big and he entered high school, she started to call me quite often to come get this child. Right? As boys without consistent and healthy males to model are wont to do, he gave her a hard time. You know, he was being a teenage boy, carrying on. Now, over a period of about 2 years, I took the boy, you know, at least once a week, I would take him with me for the day, off and on. And it helped. For a short period of time, he was sent to live with his father in another state, and that helped also a lot. But he came back to live with his mother. Over the years, I watched the boy break into a beautiful young man. Handsome, bright, introspective, talented, respectful. Now, to all us old heads, you know, he's still a baby, right? As we all know. But legally, now he's an adult in the eyes of the law. He's a man. Graduated from high school, was taking some, you know, community college classes. And short of paying his own bills or fathering children, he does all the things that an adult does, whether legal or not, whether expedient or not. See, he's a man, but still living at home with his mother. Now, here's the other clause to that mentor contract that I didn't mention yet. When it comes to rite of passage, I don't just have an obligation to the child, to the boy, but I also have an obligation, though limited, to the parent or parents. In this case, it was just a parent. Now, I have to get into mentorship in a rites of passage context for a minute. Now, obviously, rites of passage must integrally involve the parent, you know, or guardian. In fact, the parent must be as committed as the mentor to the process. For boys in particular, mothers play a central role in a boy coming of age, you know, coming into his manhood. Do you know what that role is? In all of nature, it is probably the hardest role to play. Everything else is easy in comparison. What fathers have to do, what mentors have to do. And for the single or neglected, and I repeat, neglected mother, it is made even more bitter. This role that the woman must play. She who birthed and bore that boy, child, put up with him, you know, fed him, clothed him, educated him, when no man was around, has to now give him up. She has to let him go. She has to give him space. Space to make mistakes, space to fuck up. She has to give him space to be a man, and she has to see him as a man and treat him as a man. So, you ask, or you defy, does toxic femininity exist? Here's where you might want to take a sip of water, or maybe you need something stronger, if you got it. The woman that does not let her boy child go to become a man with her copious blessing, despite the agony and tears, is toxic. I repeat, the woman that does not let her boy child go to become a man with her copious blessing, not just let him go, but let him go with her copious blessing. Because if you let him go begrudgingly, it's still toxic. So if you don't let him go and you give him your blessing to go do it and hold on to that conviction that you're letting him go to become a man, you are being a toxic female. Now, I'm sure a few can list many other alleged symptoms of toxic femininity, but I'm telling you the one I know for sure is the mother who enables her burgeoning son's boyhood while disabling his manhood. If you don't face it down like the devil that it is, it will become venomous and addictive to both mother and son. They'll be hooked on mommy's love, I'm giving you air quotes right now, and hooked into an unhealthy relationship. This dynamic is reinforced when the mother is chronically single, when it's a problem her being single. Now, she's not just single because she has chosen to be single and she's all right, she's good with herself, but when she is single and begrudgingly so, because she hates men. She's angry. Or she's married and either unhappy in her marriage or neglected in her marriage. Now, I make the distinction unhappy because she might just be unhappy because she's unhappy, right? She could have a pretty good man, decent man, great man, but she is just unhappy. But she could also be in a toxic relationship with her husband who is neglecting her, and that married yet neglected mother will have that tendency to not want to let her son go. Why? Because she makes the son into the husband. I know it's not something necessarily sexual, although I'm sure in some cases, some very deviant, depraved cases, it can and does become sexual. It does exist. But in the most part, it's just a dynamic that plays out. So if the boy leaves, she feels like he's abandoning her. So she babies him to the point that he's incapable of leaving. He doesn't have the tools to leave. He doesn't believe he can leave. Or she runs a guilt trip on him. But then she also, in the same breath, punishes him for staying and not, quote unquote, manning up. Not working, not cleaning. That's when he's sitting around the house. He's drinking too much. He's bringing his boys over. You know, when are you going to get a job? When are you going to finish school? And that dynamic is the dynamic that she would play out with the husband. But she's got a boy in her house who's not actually a boy anymore. He's a man now. And now here comes that unhealthy dynamic that plays out that the toxic mother just created. Okay? In no way is he helping her. And the boy, he knows he needs to leave. He knows that he needs to man up and leave. But he also feels like he can't leave his mom alone. He also feels like maybe, you know, he doesn't believe that he can make it on his own without her. When it is actually her job to infuse in him the courage that he can absolutely make it on his own without her, and she will be cheering him on and praying for him along the way. Now, let me also add that I do believe that certainly, at least in today's context, toxic femininity is as a result of years, centuries of rigid patriarchy and toxic masculinity that has created an environment that, for one, forces the woman to sort of look to the man and sort of need the man. That's dynamic is slowly being eroded, but it still exists in a more traditional sense. Also to the patriarchy that allows for men to neglect their wives and it not be a big deal, or to cheat on their wives, to abuse their wives. And so it leaves the wife without a healthy relationship with her husband, so she ends up replacing it with her son oftentimes. So the single mom will do that. It's often seen, you know, a lot of single moms is often seen as a stigma, as a taboo. That's slowly going away. But it exists very strongly to this day, where single mothers are looked down upon simply for being single mothers, especially if they've been single mothers for a long time and they still are not married and they haven't given that boy a father figure. It's very much looked down upon, and they're actually blamed for a lot of the issues that young boys have. So that's going to create a petri dish for toxic femininity, for sure. However, at that point, you know, it's still on the mother. If she behaves in that way, it can't excuse the behavior. It still creates toxic femininity. It still creates a toxic dynamic between her and her son. Now, it can also happen between a mother and a daughter. I'm talking about sons right now in particular. It can also happen between a mother and a daughter, but it happens slightly different in that instead of the mother, whereas with the son, she will treat him like a father or like her equal. you know, or like the her spouse, what she'll do with the daughter is that she won't trust the daughter. She'll think the daughter is trying to replace her, or you know, or the daughter is sometimes often not ever gonna be good enough. That's why you'll find a lot of single moms, they'll accuse their daughters of trying to steal their man. Or if they are married and they're unhappy in their marriage or feel neglected in their marriage, they'll often accuse a daughter of ganging up on her with the dad or liking the dad more. Or, you know, that there's that dynamic that occurs in toxic femininity. And then she'll then hate the daughter, you know, be very judgmental and maybe even violent towards the daughter. So that is toxic femininity. And I bring all of this up to say because it came up with one of my mentees where he's a man now. And I told his mother when he turned 18 and he was already giving her a hard time that, and honestly, I didn't really think he was giving her a hard time. I think they were both giving each other a hard time is what I really believe, that they were, that he's actually a really good kid. Excuse me, she's also a good mother, but the dynamic is, it's played out. You just cannot have, a woman can't really have a grown man living in his house, especially if he hasn't really completed his rite of passage of manhood. He hasn't gone over the hump. He needs to extricate from the feminine. He needs to get away from his mother. He needs to go off on his own in order to figure out how to get his and then come back. He has to learn a few things first. And I told her, since he didn't, you know, he didn't do what he needed to do in high school, so he wasn't able to really get into a decent college or go away to college or really be focused on something, have an ambition. He just ended up taking a few classes at, you know, a community college, and he's not really working. He works here and there, or he can't really hold a job, so he's still like a boy. I said to her, you know, you got to get him out. He's got to go. And I said the same thing to him. I was like, you got to get away from your mother. She's toxic to you and you're toxic to her. You're a problem. You're a burden. You're not helping. But they can't let each other go because they're caught in that dynamic where he's afraid to, he knows he needs to leave, but he doesn't want to leave his mom. She knows he needs to leave, but she doesn't want to be, quote unquote, abandoned. Now, she might not see it that way because it's a kind of a subconscious thing. So they end up playing. If you see the way that they argue like a husband and wife, not like a mother and son at all. They talk to each other as equals. They curse at each other. They call each other names. They bicker like two school kids. It's not healthy. So, lo and behold, here it is now, 2 years later, he's almost 20, and she's, you know, they're doing all kinds of things to each other, things that toxic husbands and wives or boyfriends and girlfriends do to each other when they're in unhealthy relationships, calling the police and kicking each other out, you know, all this kind of crazy dynamics that shouldn't really be happening are happening now, and you can't do that. So for mothers, single mothers, if you're going through that with your boy, now here's the concern. Oh, how can I just kick him out? You know, he can't hold on a job. He, you know, what am I supposed to do? Just put him out on the street? Da, 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 da. Yes. Yes, you have to put him out on the street. Now, it doesn't mean, like I said to the mom, that you grab him by the collar and drag him out and dump him out on the corner. You have to make a plan, like an actual sustainable plan. It's not something that you do out of emotion. It's something that you do out of a real conscious effort. In the same way that you made a conscious effort of how you're going to raise this boy and, you know, how you want to raise him, you have to also decide how do you want to extricate from him? How do you want to end this part of your relationship? You have to exit that part of your relationship, and the relationship has to change now because he's not a little boy anymore. You can't act with him as you did when he was a little boy. You're obligated to act with him as you would now treat a man. And you have to trust that he's going to be okay. Now, if he ends up in jail or something like that, you have to decide, you know, or if he ends up really living on the street, then you have to figure it out. He have to let him figure it out. Because what would he do if you were dead? Or what would he do if you were incapacitated? You got into a car accident. You had a nervous breakdown. What would he do? He would have to figure it out for the both of you. And he needs, it's tough. I'm not saying that it's an easy thing to do. It's extremely difficult. It's an extremely difficult transition to make, specifically for the mother and son. More so than it would be for the father and his boy or girl, and certainly for the mother and daughter. For the mother and son, it's an extremely difficult transition. It's tantamount for the father when he has to give his daughter, like, start allowing his daughter to date. That's tough for a dad, you know, to know that his daughter's dating, having sex, you know. That's a tough transition, but still, I cannot think of anything tougher than a mother, giving her son that tough love and letting him have to make his own mistakes and take his lumps, you know, and know that you'll be there to, you know, to dry his tears if he needs it, you know, like, to the really tough times, you'll be there to help him, but you make a plan on how you do that. And you utilize, if he has a mentor, or any man, or any person, doesn't even have to be a man, in his life, you use them. Use the people in your community. So, to give myself an example, it's the very same thing that the mother asked me. She was accusing me of not really being there for him, and all this other stuff, you know, like, almost trying to put it on me. And I take no obligation to that. Now, when I say I'm going to be there for him, I mean just that. I've never once has she called me and I've turned her down. Never once has he called me and I turned him down. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to jump on my bat bike and fly over, you know, and go looking for him or anything like that. You know, it's not like that. I have a family too. I have my own obligations. I have my own issues. And I don't have time to be constantly thinking about him. Sometimes I don't have the ability, the wherewithal, the resources to give him the constant help that he would need where I'm out taking the initiative. If I did, I would, for sure. But in my present situation, I leave it to him. It's up to him. He's a grown man now to ask for help, ask for counsel, and for her to ask for counsel. Now, here it is. I mentioned the contract that is between him and I. Now, the contract between him and I is, when you were a boy, I mentored you. I came to you, got you out of your house, and took you with me. Now that you're a man, you have to come seek me out. That's the contract. It's the same thing with the mother. Now, as long as she's mothering him, as long as she's making decisions, mothering him, and she needs help, she has an obligation. When she's making big decisions, the part of that contract is, let me run this by Manasseh or Shay. Let me run this by him. This is what, have meetings with me where we meet together. And a lot of times what will happen is, and particularly with this mother, but it happens with all mothers, when they are having an issue with their child and they call me over to talk to him or, you know, talk reason to him, whatever, they get really angry with me because I include them. And they go, how did they bring you over here to talk to me? I'm a grown-ass woman. I don't need you to talk to me. Who you ought to tell me? No. The minute that you ask me to be his mentor, it involves you. His behavior is a reflection of you. It is not all of you. I'm not saying you created a monster. I'm saying all the things, they involve you. So you have to, in order for some of his behavior to change, some of your behavior also has to change. And that's hard. I have to tell these mothers that. But they don't often, it's also difficult for them to hear. But they have to hear it. And if they don't want to acknowledge that, that's toxic femininity. When you're saying, I have nothing to do, you don't talk to me about him, da 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 da, that means that you're not allowing for the whole to take place. And whenever you don't allow for the whole to take place, that's toxic. That's what it means to be toxic. Just like people they get all up in arms when we use the term toxic masculinity, as if it also doesn't exist, and it does. It's when toxic masculinity is when you don't allow for the whole, is when you disregard the woman, when you disregard children, when you disregard the environment. You know, patriarchy in and of itself. That's what it is. It's like, whatever men do is okay, but women can't do it. White supremacy, same thing. White men can do things that no other race can. That kind of compartmentalization, that kind of elitism is toxic. And when a woman does that, I have been great to him. I've sacrificed everything. I've done nothing wrong. You just deal with him. His problems are his problems. That's not the real. That's not the whole. And especially when it comes to this kid in particular. Like I said, he really is a good kid. The problems that he's giving are problems for true and could get him into trouble for sure. But they are actually typical problems for a young man his age that warrant the guidance that we all need and is the reason why rites of passage even exist in the first place and are as old as dirt. Like, every civilized society has a rites of passage, particularly for dealing with that kind of erratic young behavior, youthful behavior, right? So that is how toxic femininity exists. And so, you know, like, for example, in his case, I don't know what the exact answer would be. But it would entail something like her talking with me and him about how they're going to separate this relationship, evolve this relationship. One is that he's got to go. And he's got to go, like, immediately. There's got to be a plan on how he's going to leave right now. Whether we all sit down and figure out where he's going to go. Are we going to get him a roommate? Does he need to get a job? Do we need to get him a job right away? If he can't get a job, does he need to join the military? One way or the other, he's got to go. You have done your job, mother. You have raised the boy. And now he's a man. He's got to go deal with men. Point blank. Period. Full stop. There is nothing more to that. Because in an actual rites of passage, in an ancient rites of passage, that is exactly what happens. The men come and they take the boy from the mothers. And the mothers, they grieve and they cry and they weep and they cling to their boy. But eventually they let him go and that boy goes off with the men and that's that. That's the end of that. Boy is dead. Man is born. And he's over there with the men now. And he's dealing. He's got to learn all the skills that a man needs to cope in this world. And mother moves on, you know, and she waits for her son and she cheers for her son and she prays for her son. And that's how that goes. There's no other way to do it. The other way to do it, once again, is toxic. It will ruin that boy. It will leave him ambivalent. It will cause him to become violent even sometimes, you know. If you have a young man living in your home who still really hasn't graduated into his manhood, I'm pretty sure there's gonna be some violence. That doesn't have to be like he's kicking the shit out of you every night. I hope not. But there's gonna be some pushing and shoving and cursing, you know. It's gonna happen here and there because you got a man in your house. That's a young man. And he's got all kinds of things, all kinds of inadequacies and insecurities running through his head and ambitions. And he wonders why he can't, you know, and it's going to lead to him trying to self-medicate just to calm himself down. And we all already know that some of you women, mothers, can be naggy, nitpicky. You know, you can provoke sometimes. You can really push a person's buttons. And you're doing that with a hormonal boy. Who in a man's body, who is legally a man, you know, and any other person who would do that to him on the street, he pushed their face back, you know. And meanwhile, there's certain toxic aspects of the culture that still exist, where he's going around calling women bitches, young girls bitches and hoes, and he hitting that, you know, if he's that type of boy, if he's carrying on with that, even if he just talks that way but doesn't act on it, that's still at play. And he's living with you, his mother, you know, and he has to tone that down and repress that, you know. Or maybe when he goes out, he amplifies it. But there's another dynamic that's at play there that's not healthy for anyone. So he needs to go out and actually know what it's like to deal with a woman, you know, that's not his mother. So that's my rant on toxic femininity. It's not very long. I only did a half an hour. I hope that was helpful. And certainly, if you have any questions, if you like this episode, you know where to reach me. I'm going by Shay E. Ray now, but it's still Being Black on Earth. You know, the website is beingblackonearth.com. You can hit me at my email, which is blackbeinginorbit@inorbit.com. And I'm also on Twitter under Shay, SHAA_goodguy, as well as at Black on Earth. Also, you can find me on my Instagram at shay.being.black. So that's today's episode. I hope you really liked it. I hope you found it informative. And if there are any other questions that I can answer or advice that I can give, I'll be more than happy to do so. And with that, peace to the black planet. Man, I'm just out here being...
Yeah.
I'm sure they would have done something
I'm being black.
Beautiful with that.
And now... And everything just...
I'm sure they would have done
something. Everything that it means to be black. Shay E. Ray here. Season 2, Episode 2. Today, I guess I have no choice. I gotta talk about the Rona. Here comes my cat. I'm outside rather than being inside. So, we're gonna take a little break and get ready to discuss the Rona while I let my cat in the house.